We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Seamoss Girlies? Your favorite shit posters are back. It's January 29th. It is 11 a.m. on a Sunday, and Emma and I are here to share you our recent health and wellness thoughts. How's it going over there, Emma?
Going good. I kind of have a case of the sniffles. I think I've been outside in damp weather with like not enough layers lately, which is no bueno. So that is no fun, but I'm really happy because I found Coconut Colt at the grocery store near my apartment, and they have been out of stock at Whole Foods and like everywhere for the longest of time because Coconut Colt has blown up, which good for them. I'm happy for them. But when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this is meant to be. So I bought some Coconut Colt and I had my little spoonfuls of it. And just it feels good to have that back in my life because I think so many things keep on getting taken away from us because the internet is annoying.
Because we're getting popular. No, I agree. I fully forgot Coconut Cult was a thing I can buy. It feels like an ancient artifact that I've not seen physically. I've seen it on socials, obviously, like you said. Cottage cheese was my case today. I've been waking up so early. Yesterday, girlies, I had a long run and unfortunately I didn't finish it like all the way to 17 miles, which is whatever. But I got home to my apartment. I had to city bike home because my legs were just hurting. And it was like an Achilles flare up, which I've had before, and now my entire left leg is like bruised. It feels like I was drunk and I fell down 3 flights of stairs yesterday, and I'm genuinely like, what the fuck did I do? Because I was running and I felt good. I made it over 3 bridges. I was like feeling great. And then yesterday was so sad. I couldn't even walk. I walked this morning, but it hurts. And I have a big girl boss week in front of me in relation to running my first run club. I have this photo shoot thing I have to be on, and now I'm like, the runner can't run. What are my fucking odds? So please send a prayer if you hear this. That's my only real update. Emma, any other updates over there?
I'm sending you prayers. Luckily, you're smart when it comes to recovery, and I'm happy that this is happening to you now versus maybe like 5 years ago, because I'm sure it would have been like a different story and you would have tried to push through.
Yeah.
Updates on my end. Oh, I found my Sinsta. Well, I didn't find my Sinsta.
Sinsta.
Okay, so back in Nebraska, we call it Sinsta, so secret Insta.
Oh, see, Finsta, we said fake Insta in Minnesota.
Yeah, it was like Sinsta because it was like secret and like everyone is on, I was going to say mute, but on private.
Yeah, no, we have Finstas. Oh my God.
I don't know why. I was like, you know what? I wonder if I remember my password.
That's so funny.
And so I remembered my password on the first try, which is hilarious. And it made me nostalgic, but also so happy to see what younger me was doing and like the stupid shit I was doing. I like, back then, like obviously high school for everyone, people have different experiences, but for the most part, like I had a very lovely high school experience, and just seeing myself like so happy and like so creative back then just made me so happy. And I was like, wow, younger me would be so proud to see where I am now. And I was like, damn, like, oh my God, my mind is blown.
No, literally same.
And like, so then immediately after I looked at all those photos, I went on the longest evening walk, and I just listened to Ribs by Lord on repeat at least like 10 or 12 times. And that really just like put me in the zone.
No, same. I had that moment when I went home, because I used to be really into art in high school. I was in like AP art, like did collages all the time. And I found all these really cute collages in one of my journals that had like my first Glossier sticker ever that I got in 2016. And like, rest in peace, Manor Peller problematic, Leandra problematic. But like back in the day, you know, when I was like consuming that media in 2015 and it was like the cool fashion, I had like cutouts of that. I had cutouts. And it's so strange now in New York that Emma, you and I are grown, and like, it's weird being in New York City, which I think we talk about a lot, but in the professional world, like there's people that are 21 that are founders of companies that are also intermingling with people that are 36 and are scaling their like second company. Yeah. So I've very much met a lot of the people that used to be on my Pinterest boards, and we're like homies now, which feels very strange to say, because I'm like, yeah, the collages like in my bedroom have people that I now know. And I think that's a weird like reflective moment. I also wish I should like try to get into my like Finsta thing, because I was not posting anything. I pretty much was just like, I want to go to New York, I want to go to New York, and that was about it for me. But they're very goofy.
Some of the stuff I was saying in there, just so hilarious. And there's also stuff, I guess I was posting on there during the pandemic when I was still in college. I like brought it back to life. And that was just like so weird to see what I was doing back in that time, because I think we all just sort of forgot about that time period.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, no other crazy, crazy updates on my end. It's just the same old stuff.
Same old nonsense.
No new routines yet. It's only been a week since we last potted.
Yeah, we haven't uncovered any new routines that have changed our life yet. I'm sitting in my Hyper Ice boots. I hope that will help my leg. I'm a big Hyper Ice stan. If you don't know, they make like recovery technology. So that's been something I've been prioritizing, because I'm a big recovery chick. But actually, a new routine for me, like the Queensboro Bridge, I ran over that yesterday for my first time ever. And that's the one that you go over in the New York City Marathon. I think it's about mile 17 or 18. And it's like when everyone starts to feel like shit. And notoriously, like people who film the New York City Marathon, when they film that part, you'll see people just like puking off the side of it. I'm like, awesome. So when I was running up it yesterday, of course I was like, oh my god, this is like me running the marathon, this is like so much fun. And I don't know, maybe I'll do the New York City Marathon in the fall if I get a bit or something, who knows, and if I still like running at that point. But when I was running over it, I was like, wow, this is my new favorite thing ever. So I think I might honestly just be running that bridge more, just for something new in the routine.
That reminds me, remember early days of the pandemic when we biked to Happy Zoe Vegan Bakery over that bridge, and that was the first time we on that bridge, and I think it was like one of the first times we used the e-bikes, and we were like truly felt like it was Mario Kart.
No, when I was going over it, because I had to Google like, can you walk over the Queensboro Bridge? Because for the marathon, they shut off like the car traffic area, and that's where you run over. And I was Googling it like while I was in Queens. I'm like, can I like run over this bridge? And then I'm like, wait, fuck, Emma and I biked over this. Yeah, you can. But it was like spooky. The delivery bikers were coming down pretty fast. Like, well, I was going up, and I was like, yeah, I could get hit here.
It's kind of a narrow bridge. The sides where you bike and walk. That's all I remember. But yeah, what a time.
What a fucking time. Well, this episode, if you've tapped in, our lovely listeners, this is about just recent health things. You know, Emma and I have missed the discourse on TikTok. We've been consuming it subconsciously, but like we haven't chatted about it since like before the holidays. And it's always interesting with like what you guys probably get on your For You page, what Emma get, because it's all different. Because some of the stuff that you guys asked about, I was like, I've genuinely never heard about this before. And then I was telling Emma, like the first thing that came to mind for me was like, oh my god, we should totally talk about the parasite cleanse. And Emma was like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, you did not get those videos for like a week straight. So we have a wide swath of topics here that I'm very excited for us to get into.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to enlighten me on the topic of Paragard, because when you said that, I had no idea what you were talking about, and you were shocked, and I was like, I don't know, not on my For You page. So yeah, lots of topics to talk about.
Lots of topics.
So yeah, I hope you all enjoy, and if there's any other topics you want to hear from us, always let us two girlies know, because there is a great chance that we will discuss it.
We will love to discuss your recent intrusive thoughts on the episode of CMOS Girlies in the future. So I'll call you back and we'll get into our crazy little list here.
Great.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, listeners, let's shoot the shit, shall we? First up, we have Paragard. So this was all over my For You page, not so much anymore, but like maybe around the holidays. I don't know what the first video I saw was, but if you're not on TikTok, if you haven't seen it, I will inform you now. So basically, there's a bunch of girlies that have been going on TikTok being like, oh my god, I just did the parasite cleanse and I lost 5 pounds overnight. This whole video is a trigger. I mean, this whole episode is a trigger warning, just by the way. Like, we're talking about a lot of like disordered things on TikTok. So just trigger warning before we get into the episode. I probably should have said that earlier. But basically, these girlies were going on like, I did this parasite cleanse and I lost 5 pounds. Like, here's what the bottle looks like. I got it on Amazon. And basically, you ingest this like supplement to deworm yourself. and all of us have parasites because the world is so toxic and the environment is so scary these days. And so then people were like, oh my God, I'm so influenced. I have to do the parasite cleanse. And then like the next person was buying it. The next person was buying it. And suddenly there were all these videos. And then of course there were all these like dietitians and nutritionists like, girlies, what the fuck are we doing? Like, why are you like doing a parasite cleanse? You live in the United States. Like you're not, you have clean drinking water over there. Like what's going on? So yeah, there's this product called Paragard. A lot of people were buying it off of Amazon, which I'm like, why the fuck would you buy something to put in your body on Amazon when you can get like toilet paper? Like, I don't know. I'm just like, that's like, you can buy toilet paper, you can buy phone cases, you can buy like anything on Amazon. And you're going to buy a cleanse. Yikes. And so these people were doing this parasite cleanse because they're like, well, I feel bloated and I think that I have parasites. People don't know if they have parasites or not. And it's like, once again, all these people that like live in the US, you have access to clean drinking water. It's not like you're living in a place like the global South where maybe you don't have drinking water, like access to you, that it would make sense that like you could have parasites if the water is contaminated, right? Turns out this is very unsafe. People started to be shitting out the internal organs. Like they were like, oh my God, it was kind of gross. These videos were like describing what their shit looked like because people were curious. And they're like, yeah, it was just like a really like crazy, like large size of bile. And all these nutritionists were like, yeah, that was probably like parts of your small intestine you were shitting out. Like, it's not safe. It's not like sexy for you to do that little parasite cleanse. Also, parasite cleanses are not tested to see if they work or if they're safe. They haven't gone through any sort of FDA review or approval process. So it's just you and God. You're just trusting that this parasite cleanse is the right thing. So I was just appalled that people were doing these like cleanses on TikTok. You know, I think most cleanses you see on TikTok are like, I'm going to go on a juice cleanse, whatever, and I'm going to get rid of the toxins. Like, we've been used to that like insane language on social media for a long time, but to do a parasite cleanse, that is like another level of like crazy stuff on that app.
Yeah, I'm happy this was not on my For You page on TikTok. This stuff, obviously extreme, but it's so frustrating when this type of super duper hippie stuff becomes so viral because it just makes the entire wellness industry look batshit insane. Yeah. And yeah, if you were a regular Joe from Minnesota and you saw this type of stuff, you'd be like, oh my God, this wellness stuff is so insane. These people are crazy. And so it just totally discredits the rest of the industry at large. And I think we might touch on a little bit how heroin chic is coming back and all that jazz. And I totally feel that more and more things like this are going to become more mainstream for people to quickly lose weight, which is like disgusting. I think to the entire conversation about bloating, the fact that that is still going on TikTok blows my mind, but also I'm not surprised. And people are just so desperate and just want quick fixes. And it's like, no, sweetie, maybe just drink some water and actually eat a vegetable and not just a bunch of protein bars. And maybe your digestion will be a little bit better. But yeah, this is concerning. I feel like I've seen parasite cleanse powders at an unnamed health store before.
Yeah, I've seen them there too.
Yeah. I just would never do that. Sometimes magnesium spooks me out whenever I take the Calm magnesium and you take a little too much and you just like shit like crazy. So I can't even imagine
I think there's obviously like so many misnomers about like quote weight loss and like what healthy weight loss is. And like that is just like a total gray area on social media. And I think that since there is such a gray area, it leaves opportunity for people to come on with crazy shit. Like, oh, I lost all this weight. And then if you go to a doctor, they're like, well, you probably lost water weight. Like you did not lose visceral fat. You didn't actually do anything. Like, or you maybe lost muscle mass and that means your metabolism is going to slow down. So it's not going to be weight loss in the long term. And that's why like I just hate any sort of these like cleanses and stuff, because if you are approaching weight loss, like let's say your doctor or someone that you, or you want to lose weight, like that's totally fine. Like good for you. I'm not saying you can never have a desire to lose weight at some point in your life. But a parasite cleanse is like not the way to do it. And of course, everyone that was doing the parasite cleanse was a woman that was affluent, that was thin, that did not need to do this thing. And then once again, promoting it to their social media without any sort of like validation for like why they are doing it. No one was like, oh, I went to my doctor and I was in this country and they suspect that I have a parasite cleanse. It was just like, I feel bloated, so I'm going to go to the extreme and do this parasite cleanse. I mean, it's sad. I think a lot of consumerism and wellness is sad because people are so, it's probably such a low that they trust anything. You know, people trust the Bloom Nutrition, which I went on a rant about this past week, like kind of at the same point you made, Emma, about how it dilutes the credibility of any sort of wellness thing when something like Bloom pops up. And I think it's just sad because it's like a lot of people feel like they can't trust doctors, they can't trust holistic remedies, and they're just like left to fend for themselves because of like governmental collapse, social safety nets falling apart, that it's like, okay, I can't trust the food system, but I also can't trust these people. So I'm just going to do a parasite cleanse. But I'll talk more about that later once we talk about kind of the rise of the carnivore diet too, because there's some cross sections. So yeah, the next point is kombucha and dental health. So this actually never came up on my TikTok, but a few people said it came up. Did it come up on yours, Emma?
No, this didn't come up on mine, but I have been seeing other dental related stuff, which we can get into after this.
Yeah, you can chat about that. So the main thing about kombucha and dental health, I have not seen it. My first gut reaction before I did some research into this was like, oh, I'm going to guess because kombucha has sugar. And so people are going to say it's rotting your teeth, and the whole debate about like sugar is sugar is sugar. Like, it's just like eating Halloween candy if you're getting this much sugar. It's kind of like the same people that say fruit is bad and demonize fruit because it has sugar in it, whatever. So the more like realistic idea behind why people are saying kombucha can have issues with your teeth is because fermented tea can stain your teeth. And also kombucha is more acidic than water. So the pH levels of most kombucha drinks range from 2.5 to 3.5. And if you don't know anything about like high school chemistry, the lower the number, the more acidic it is. And white vinegar is around 2.4. So you're getting pretty close to like just drinking straight vinegar for your teeth with kombucha. And so that's why doctors have said like when you finish your drink, what you could do if you're worried about it is you could rinse your mouth out with filtered water, and you could brush your teeth after drinking kombucha. For me, that would like make me want to throw up, like having the taste of like fermented kombucha and then like brushing your teeth right after that. But it's because of this excess sugar sitting on your teeth. And like if you do look at kombucha, it really can range in the amount of sugar, and I feel like I always try to go for one that doesn't have a shit ton of added sugar in it, because that's what makes kombucha like quote taste good, is like a little bit of sugar. Otherwise it is pretty acidic, and most kombuchas can range from like 2 to 30 grams of sugar. And as a reference, like the recommended daily intake of sugar for an entire day for women is 25 and 36 for men. So if you're drinking a lot of kombucha and you're not really looking at the sugar, that could lead to an issue. So it's just more something to pay attention to label reading maybe when you're drinking kombucha.
Yeah, but I also wonder too how much kombucha you'd have to consume to actually have an actual impact on your dental health.
Yeah,
I'm sure if you're having one or two a week, which is probably what most people are doing now, you're probably safe. But yeah, if you're chugging 4 kombuchas a day,
well, we really need to just have GT's
scale, but I doubt there's any research on that.
We need to have GT's Dave on the pod because he's probably chugging so much kombucha.
He freaks me out. But yeah, kind of touching on dental health too, I've been seeing a lot more oil pulling coming on my For You page, which
throwback.
Is exactly. And I was having a conversation with someone about different oral and dental health trends. And I was like, I don't really see any current trends or any new stuff because everyone just brushes their teeth. So there's not really an incentive to try to Gen Z
toothpaste
the dental industry, because it's just like, yeah, everyone brushes their teeth, versus like supplements. People like to show off their supplements because it's like, oh, I'm better than you because I take a turmeric supplement and you're just drinking plain water.
Yeah.
But anyway, oil pulling, when I've been seeing this on my For You page, I'm like, I thought this was a thing that we were doing in 2015 when like mustaches were the whole thing,
quirky
and
shit,
we had the weird vegan cult in California. But yeah, it's kind of coming back. And I sort of, for people who don't know, oil pulling, people do it as like an alternative to using mouthwash, and it can improve like gum health and bacteria. Obviously, you know, very little research done, but I think the reason it's probably coming back into fashion is because I think at the end of 2022, I was just seeing a lot of stuff on TikTok about fear mongering about the toxins that are in your cleaning and beauty products. And so I think so many people are so spooked out, like you said, and are so like helpless and hopeless because there's no one knows what to trust, no one knows what to use, and so people are just going to, not that oil pulling is an extreme, but are just going to these crazy measures to avoid any type of toxins from their body, even though we see and experience environmental toxins on a daily basis. And so I feel that's kind of the reason why it's coming back. But yeah, that definitely threw me for a major throwback. I think I tried oil pulling once and I just hated the sensation of just oil slurping around in my mouth, so I never got into that.
No, I never got into it either. I found it really annoying, and I would like swallow a chunk of it because I would forget that I was doing it. It like was not peaceful or nice for it. Once again, yeah, like not yucking anyone's yum. If you love oil pulling, like stay at it, soldier, good for you, but it's not something that I've gotten into. Along with oil pulling, I've seen a rise of tongue scraping. And I honestly, here's another thing about TikTok that is very different from like any prior forms of social media, is that I think it becomes really easy, and there's there's been a trend of de-influencing on the app, which I've loved. And I was honestly going to do one about like stupid wellness products that you should never buy. And it was going to be like gummy supplements, like vegan collagen, mm-hmm. like stuff that is fake, you know? But I think with specifically with like wellness on TikTok, I think people's way to like, quote, become a wellness creator is to get as many social signifiers as possible. I'm going to get the oil pulling thing, and then I'm going to get the ball of ankle weights, and then I'm going to get this. Like when people were doing those, the reason I hated the wish lists and gift guides is because it was just promoting excess consumerism to people. And like, yeah, I'm an influencer. Like I push stuff, but it's like genuinely stuff that I use, and you also don't have to buy it. But it's like when it's so many things being like, you need an oil puller, you need this, you need da, 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 da. I think that is such a rise in this consumerism that we haven't seen before with TikTok. Like I've seen so many people get on the fucking tongue scraper train that weren't on it like 5 years ago, like you're saying, because I think TikTok has made this stuff more accessible and made people feel like I need this stuff a lot more than back then.
Okay, you know what's so funny about the tongue scraper thing is that I was at Jewel's Naturals yesterday and they sell tongue scrapers for I think $3 or $4, and I was like, lol, this is so funny, because I'm sure so many girlies on TikTok or on social media have probably spent upwards of $30 to $50 yeah. on some stupid tongue scraper.
Yeah.
And can't you just like use your toothbrush and just go back and forth in your tongue and clean the bacteria? I'm assuming that is just as effective.
Well, it's like the same thing with like the Stanley water cup. I did not know that shit was $49. Like
imagine,
you know, like there's so many things that are making certain habits much more expensive than they need to be. That is like annoying. And like, yeah, I have my Hyper Ice gun. I have my Hokas, which are expensive. But once again, I am investing in certain things that I have deemed to be quality for a good amount of time. It wasn't just like I flopped over because like Betty Boop influencer number one said I need Hokas. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's me. I'm Betty
Boop influencer. But also but with like a Hyper Ice or something like that, the thing with like the Stanley Cup, for example, is that you're going to have the same experience no matter what you drink out of. Versus like a Hyper Ice gun, you're going to get so many more benefits and outcomes from that versus if you just try to fucking massage your ankles with your knuckles.
With your hands. Yeah, God. But not to say I haven't done that before. I was doing that. I was down bad yesterday. Which gets into my next point. And I don't want to, once again, yuck anyone's yum, because I don't know, maybe this has worked for you. But we got asked about like the spiky mats, yoga mats, which like I totally understood when like whoever said that in Geneva, like shout out. Like I totally got what you're saying. There's a few different spiky mats. So we're going to get into them. First one is acupuncture yoga mats. So if you Google this, you can get an image of what I'm talking about. But basically they're like flat yoga mats and then they have like little spiky balls on them. And more research is obviously needed on these things because they're like a newer invention. And like we haven't done a clinical trial on like the efficacy of spiky yoga mats or spiky acupuncture mats, but the claims behind them is that it can kind of trigger the same release that would happen in an acupuncture session, like if you got needles into your back. So it can help relieve like lower back pain, fatigue, muscle tension, and stress. Also, like, you know, another claim that they say with stress relief, you also can improve your sleep if you get one of these things. So like, go at it if that thing's for you. I personally have never seen one out in the wild, like an acupuncture mat, but they seem sick. The second type of mat is what I was thinking about, and my head kind of went to like a red flag territory, is like these infrared PEMF mats. So if you search them, they started about $1,000 for like a yoga mat with, I'm going to explain it. So it's called like a pulse electromagnetic field therapy. That's like the reasoning behind it. Basically, the quote from this one website I was on is that like PEMF grounds you into the Earth's magnetic field for a full body reset, while infrared's deeply penetrating heat doubles your dose. So this mat I was looking at had the PEMF like magnetic field charged into this mat somehow, and then it also had an infrared like sauna element to it, which is probably why it was that expensive. And so like the claims about what this does for you is it treats your like acute pain from injuries and your back pain, chronic low back pain specifically. But like my logic about like we did a whole episode about like EMF stuff, and I feel like that tech is kind of goes off like the red flag for me, because I'm like, what do you mean you're like gonna lay on a mat and you're gonna get a higher vibrational energy from it? Like I always joke about like vibrational energy, because I feel like that was like cultural cachet back in like 2015 about like the cat beauty days and like the moon juice. Like I'm gonna drink my dirt shot and my energy will be a higher vibration. Like once again, if that's your vibe, like go off. But I don't think there's much efficacy towards any sort of EMF like therapy type thing like this.
Yeah, no, me neither. I've been seeing a lot of that stuff on my TikTok, but I don't really pay attention to it.
Yeah, I would love to be proven wrong. Like, if you've found significant, like, I really have no strong opinions here about, like, just shitting on this for no reason. I just am kind of, like, hesitant to jump on the bandwagon of this. But if you found that it's really worked for you, like, definitely let me know. Because I think, like, infrared saunas and shit work, but I don't know about, like, the EMF stuff, really.
Yeah, that is above my knowledge.
Above pay grade.
Okay,
you want to talk about saunas?
Yeah, we can talk about saunas too. So I guess someone in Geneva has been seeing a lot of saunas and hot yoga and basically just asking if heat is necessary. And there's been so much on my For You page about the benefits of cold water exposure, but I have listened to a lot of TikToks about benefits of heat. So the TLDR is that, yes, deliberate heat exposure can have health benefits. You don't have to have access to a sauna to experience these type of benefits. You can definitely take like a very hot shower. I think Stephanie Esteem on her podcast always talks about how she kind of creates her own DIY sauna in her bathroom. So I'm sure if you listen to any episode about that, she'll give you the tea on how to do that. But yes, so deliberate heat exposure can have health benefits. The main ones are basically cardiovascular health and your general mood. So improved cardiovascular health can be impacted by saunas because heat can trigger some of the mechanisms in your brain and body as if you were to partake in some sort of physical cardiovascular activity. I went onto Andrew Huberman's website because I was like, what are the, you know, requirements to experience these type of benefits? Because I think a lot of people just think, oh, I'm going to like sit in a sauna for 30 seconds and I'm going to hope that like my life is forever changed. So it's typically recommended to sit in a sauna for like 5 to 20 minutes for 2 to 3 times a week if you want to experience some of the cardiovascular health benefits. And then for your mood, this is the one that I've kind of known more about in terms of like benefits of saunas. And that's the reason why I've been doing cold showers. And it's really because it releases endorphins and dynorphins. So dynorphins, which was a new term for me, actually is what releases a lot of the discomfort feelings that you'll experience. So yeah, when you go into a sauna, it's usually uncomfortable, or even if you go into a cold shower, it's very uncomfortable for the first, I would say 30 to 60 seconds until your body gets a little bit adjusted to the temperature, but then it sets the stage for the endorphins, which is why you feel the sense of great mood afterwards. And regular sauna use can also decrease cortisol levels. So if you want to experience these health benefits, it's typically recommended for you to be exposed to it for at least an hour total for an entire week, but you can split it up into two to three sessions so you're not sitting in a sauna. And of course, having access to a sauna is expensive, and most people are not going to be able to have any access to that at all. So you can do it in a hot shower. And so I think it's like really important whenever you see these type of new trendy things on the internet that you don't have to go out of your way to spend a lot of money to partake in a lot of wellness practices. You can still do it in the comforts of your own home. And I wish more and more people would kind of talk about the ways that you can incorporate wellness routines on a budget, because so much of the time it's just a lot of expensive products getting thrown at us because of capitalism.
Yeah, facts. I definitely love the infrared saunas, like before bed, like it definitely calms you down. That's kind of like what hot exposure does, can help you get a better night of sleep. Like whenever I take a hot bath before bed, I notice that I'm just like a lot drowsier. So maybe that's something to look into. Cause yeah, water bills. I realized that the other day that like our water bills are not like, we don't have to pay for water.
Use that water, baby.
So use that water, take a fucking bath. I love my baths. They're so nice. Next one, a quickie that I feel like I saw on TikTok a long time ago was Shihalat. It's like a black, the reason I've seen it is like, it's this like black syrupy liquid. It's like a tar like sticky substance that a lot of people have like, you know, just put into their like morning routines on TikTok. It goes back to like Ayurvedic tradition. It's been utilized for centuries. I feel like the reason people probably jumped onto it was kind of like a chlorophyll type thing where it's like supports metabolism, digestion. So I haven't seen it lately, but I think I saw it like after, it was a post chlorophyll trend, pre, I don't know, whatever chaos we're in now, but that was just one to note about. And then
I feel like I took that supplement in college perhaps, because goofy. I think it also can help with, if I don't mistaken, for female fertility. And I was like, I need to like balance my hormones, but
well,
I
looked into it and it said that it increases your testosterone a ton.
Okay.
So don't know about that, brother. Whoopsies. But next one is the raw carrot salad and like adrenal cocktails. Like, as we've said, I think hormones have been a huge trend on TikTok, which is good because I think it's cool that people are now taking care of their hormones. But I think that being said, there's a lot of opportunity for people just to put on random shit. It's also weird. Like, I've seen so many girls that are selling like seed cycling hormonal guide, like click the link in bio for $40 and I can teach you how to balance your hormones. Like, Emma and I could easily do that, but it's like, what the fuck? Like, no.
Wait, you know what blows my mind is that, remember, again, I'm bringing this up again, when we had CMOS Life,
I know,
that
and
Instagram
we
page,
charge, yeah.
we 1,000,000% had some sort of hormone balance little
We did.
zine thing. Yeah, we should fucking put that on the internet, but not charge people.
I know, God, literally. Thank God.
I'm going to post it. I'm going to post it if I can find it. I will post and do the little carousel thing on TikTok for all y'all to have free content.
Oh,
and
I still
resources.
Have them. I'll send them to you, girl. I have them all on my computer saved in a Google Drive, so we're good.
There we go.
Education, the free CMOS really is education. We're just so like socialists in our practices here. Anyways, so the raw carrot salad, if you haven't seen it, I actually heard about it from the Red Scare podcast. Yikes. Like Dasha was talking about this shit and I was like, what the fuck? Like I heard about it on TikTok and then I was like, what is this raw carrot salad? And then you Google it and like Dasha comes up. So there's this dude named Ray Pete, who's like some holistic nutritionist that like Dasha from the podcast like now like subscribes to, I guess, in her diet. One thing that he has is called like the raw carrot salad. Since the raw carrot salad has like gone viral on TikTok, it has garnered like over 8.6 million views on TikTok of people doing it. And like, I didn't realize that it got blown up on TikTok that much. Basically what you do is you grate carrots into like a bowl, and then you just put like olive oil or coconut oil and like apple cider vinegar, and you just eat it like that. Now, I eat vegetables in like a weird, like I can eat some raw veggies, you know, I do that all the fucking time, but I just find it very strange that I would sit with like only carrots that I shredded up. Like I will just take a chunk of a bite into a raw carrot myself versus like dicing it up. And the main health claim behind like why you need to eat a raw carrot salad every single fucking day is because it balances your estrogen levels. And like the logic behind that is because like you're eating so many carrots with like the apple cider vinegar that it mixes together. And like overall, if you think about it, there might be something because you're eating foods with a lot of fiber. And if you weren't eating that many carrots before doing it, you're going to get a significant more amount of fiber than your diet was like the previous day. But it doesn't have to be carrot specifically. And like when you are eating a lot of foods that are fiber rich, like around your menstrual cycle, your estrogen levels are going to be at your highest. So that's kind of like, it's one of these things where like, you might get the benefit, but it's not because the reason you're doing it. Just because you're eating vegetables is probably why it's leading to like this balanced estrogen levels. And so like, yeah, if one thing isn't going to change your life, of course, it's not going to be like the parasite cleanse, like brings you closer to God, or like this fucking raw carrot salad thing. So if you like carrots and you like eating them like this, like I guess fucking go off, like eat your raw carrot salad. I'm just going to munch on them with some hummus. That's what I'm going to do. But I don't know.
Yeah. That feels like a lot of effort. Yeah. Just eat some carrots, especially because I don't have a fucking food grater, so I don't have any way to chop up my carrots in that manner. But yeah, I mean, if this is an easy way for you to ingest vegetables in a fun way, go for it. But like Kate said, eating the carrots is not the reason. It's just because you're eating a vegetable versus something else.
Yeah, the next topic we can chat about quickly: the rise of almond moms, buccal fat, plastic surgery, heroin chic. These are all kind of together. And unfortunately, I think these are just something that are a trend that is here to stay with us on social media, unfortunately. And we talked about that last year. Like, as soon as we saw the Kardashians get plastic surgery, whether or not you pay attention to the Kardashians or not, they are a huge signifier of where culture leads to. And after we saw that, we started to see a rise of this crazy shit. Now, the discourse around almond moms is interesting because I have a meme in the drafts, in the CMOS Girlies drafts, about like us trying to unlearn like the crazy detox, like diet shit that our moms were all put on in like the 90s and like early 2000s, because there was so much back then of like, eat a low cholesterol diet, eat a low fat diet, like don't look at olive oil, blah, 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 blah. And our moms were like raised into their like motherhood to put these onto our kids. And I feel like that's why there's so many fucking almond moms like on TikTok. And I mean, I love the pushback when you see the moms that are like clearly not almond moms and people like post about their moms of like letting them eat cake and brownies and like whatever the fuck they want. But yeah, I can't imagine growing up with a fucking almond mom. My mom is interesting for her own reasons, but we definitely were not like restricted at all in our childhood.
Yeah, if anything, I think I'm very impressed with my mom's healthy relationship to food, and she has never had any issues. My dad, on the other hand, again, has his interesting food moments. But yeah, I don't think I'm really happy that I didn't grow up in an environment where my mom was like that, especially because being in high school, there's just like such a great chance that you are going to experience some sort of like eating disorder, because that's like very prevalent and kind of when it occurs. And then having an almond mom on top of that, I'm just sure would just destroy you.
Well, I think I was exposed to almond moms of like, if I became friends with someone and they had an almond mom and I was like what the fuck? Like, your mom is going to make you eat like trail mix without any peanut, like without any M&Ms, and you're not going to get any sugar and da, 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 da. Or I would notice it vice versa. If I had a friend that had an almond mom and they came over to my house and they're like, wait, you guys have Oreos? Like, my mom doesn't let us eat those. And I was always like, oh my God, that's so sad. Like, eat three, like have some Oreos. You know what I mean? With the buckle fucking fat shit. That once again, it's only going to be like the wealthy that have access to go get this like strange removal. I personally love my like chubby cheeks. I feel like a round face is beautiful. I just think it's really strange the extremes people go to with plastic surgery. And I'm not like, plastic surgery is bad, like you're catering to the male gaze, whatever. Like, I don't get plastic surgery. If you want to get plastic surgery, I personally will never go under the knife because that freaks me out. I barely can get a shot and not pass out, so I do not think I could get any form of plastic surgery ever. Yeah, I don't really have that many things to say about the buckle fat. I was just kind of like, what the fuck are we doing as a society?
I mean, I'm not surprised people have been getting plastic surgery for years. And yeah, like, don't feel ashamed if you have chubby cheeks. I have chubby cheeks and I'm rolling with it because I also know that our faces won't be this plump when we're in our 30s. And it's nice to see a lot of older people on TikTok be like, you don't need to get the surgery because, like, look at me when I was your age and look at me now. Like, my face has hollowed out a bit. So if you're someone who is self-conscious, just know you might be wishing you had your chubby cheeks when you're 30 or 40.
Yeah. Next one. I don't know if you've seen it, but the Hatch alarm clock.
Negative.
Oh my God, really? So I've seen this on TikTok. I think I got it pushed to me once in an ad, but then I saw a few people just like organically talking about it. It's an alarm clock. I should look up the price of it, but it's an all-in-one device that combines a smart light, sound machine, sunrise alarm, and meditation. So my sense of the clock is that you set, you know, like a wind down time, a wake up time, and the wind down time, like, it'll set the light to be like that sort of like reddish orangish color to help you wind down. You can do different things in the app if you like pay for the premium thing, which I don't think you have to have, but it will like turn your phone on do not disturb. It'll remind you to start reading. It will like start playing like peaceful sounds like right before you're about to fall asleep. And then it will play sounds throughout the night. So you can choose like brown noise, you can choose white noise, you can like do whatever you want. And then it'll set like a sunrise alarm that is supposed to be like really peaceful. And most people on TikTok I've seen have like reviewed the product organically have been like, hey, I've like never been able to fall asleep and like get a good wind down routine, and this like totally helped me. Or like, I live in a place where I don't have access to like getting that, you know, like Andrew Huberman says, go get your sunrise in the morning. Like, I don't have that, or I have to wake up early for work, and like the Hatch alarm clock is good for me. My thing about this is like, I'm a big like routine when it comes to like wind down and wake up, right? I have my brown noise on, I have like my eye mask on, I try to do all my things before bed to like help me cool down. And like, I don't need my alarm clock. Like, I'm just saying, like, I've democratized that process for me. I have a free brown noise app in my phone. I use my janky iPhone alarm. I just wear like an eye mask, a silk eye mask. I got off an airplane one time over my eyes. Like, for me, it doesn't have to be that much more complex to like invest in this type of alarm clock. That I was shocked that, like, yeah, it has all these features and it's like that expensive and people are buying it. That was like my big, like,
oh. Yeah, my first like reaction is that this just sounds like my phone.
Right.
Like, my phone has the sunrise app. My phone tells me when I need to wind down.
Yeah.
I blast the lights in my apartment when I wake up to get some sort of light because it's still dark out. I don't know what the price is, but if you are desperate, maybe get it. But I also think you can easily recreate this through free tools and apps on your phone.
Yeah, this alarm clock is $130. Okay. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, like, once again, I spend my money in certain like areas of like the wellness tech, but this is something that I would personally never spend my money on. But
just get a good magnesium, go to bed at a decent time. Maybe don't be on your phone 30 minutes before you go to bed and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe, who fucking knows? Not discounting it if, once again, if you do have it and it works for you, like, would love to hear more about it. But that was just like my first thought on it, that I was kind of shocked by it.
Yeah.
The next thing has been, I feel like we've touched on it in some episodes here and there, but we're going to talk about the carnivore diet, Liver King, raw milk, all that stuff, whole milk, whatever. This has kind of started, I would say, for the past probably half of a year that I've seen a rise in this type of content. If you're not familiar, there's people that are fully eating raw meat and raw organs every single day. They've kind of reverted maybe from like a vegan diet, and now they're like, I want to eat whole milk. I don't want to eat tofu anymore. And they've done a total 180 flip. What's that diagram I'm thinking of when it's like two people on the ends of the political spectrum, and you like a horseshoe theory of like, people used to be super like, I'm going to save the earth, environment shit, and now they're eating raw liver. Like, it's a full flip. And I think I saw it in like a TikTok trend this past week where there was like that little boy that I don't know what movie this is from, where he like walks up to the screen and then it flips.
The Stranger Kids guy.
Yeah, Stranger Things kid guy. Yeah. Where there was someone made a video and it was like Beyond Meat on the screen. It had like all the alternative milks and cashew cheese. And then he snapped and it went to like a full carnivore diet. And my thing about carnivore diet is that we have this like, camp of really weird people in this like horseshoe theory again, where they go from being leftists, care about the earth, care about the environment and shit. And now they're like being sucked into right-wing propaganda because there isn't sort of like a leftist solution towards like the issues. And so people are just like, okay, I'm going to go and be like far right-wing and like fuck the government. I don't believe in government regulation of my food. I just want to like go and get the raw milk. So it's a valid like critique that people see, like we have poor social safety nets, we have poor health outcomes in this country, but the solution they're running towards is like scary. And it's kind of weird when you see this language of like the government doesn't care about us and poisons us, but then the solution is like, I'm going to go eat raw liver. Like, that's a huge jump to make. And I think it's crazy that I've seen an escalation of so many people making that jump. And also like random health and wellness girlies or like vegan YouTubers are now making that jump to like, I don't support the government. And then they get into like this anti-COVID thing. And the only way I think we could get out of this in like a smart, equitable way is if the government starts to subsidize things like fruits and vegetables. If the government, you know, creates policy changes towards a more just food system. It's not towards like an isolationist individual thing where you go eat raw meat because you have access to it, like whatever. So that's the kind of scary thing, because yeah, I think the people are jumping because they don't see a clear solution and they're just like, I'm gonna go carnivore diet, I guess.
Yeah, no, not at all. Okay, to round out this episode, someone wanted us to touch on the Consumer Reports lab about the findings of heavy metals and dark chocolate. For people who don't know, so Consumer Lab Reports, they do a lot of testing on consumer products, and they tested, I want to say, about 23 different chocolate bars and found high levels of lead and cadmium in different brands. So a few of the brands that they tested were like Who Kitchen, Hershey's, Trader Joe's, Theo, etc. And they found that a lot of these did contain heavy metals, and I actually have the list. And they basically said that eating 1 ounce of one of these chocolate bars put you at risk at going over the level of exposure to these heavy metals. And I think one thing to note is that heavy metals are found naturally in the soil, but there's been increased levels due to human activity because of like pollution and us just being like terrible, nasty people to the internet, the environment. And the reason people are freaking out is because long-term exposure can be dangerous for kids and adults, especially pregnant women, because it can impact different organs, so like your brain, kidney, liver, etc. And I do just want to say that like we're, again, exposed to so many toxins on a daily basis, and there's such little that we can do about it. And it sucks that there's no government intervention when it comes to protecting the soil or the environment at large for general public safety and health. And so the people who are going to be able to avoid these certain dark chocolates or to avoid certain heavy metal toxins are those A, that are privileged enough to have access to these like findings or these reports. Like Consumer Labs is not typically free to like the public to have access to. And for people to like seek out these quote unquote safe chocolates, again, you're just gonna have to have like extra time on your hands to like maybe go to one specific grocery store to get a certain type of chocolate. And there's also just limited testing and labeling. So it places consumers really like in the dark when it comes to shopping for certain products. Yeah. And like, yeah, it sucks, but there's nothing that we can really do about it. And that's just the reality that we live in. But for people who are curious, I'll read off the brands that are quote unquote safe. What's actually really great is that I think some of these brands you can easily find at a Target or a Walgreens or a Walmart. That's what I was trying to say. So Mass Chocolate, Tazza, Ghirardelli, the Ghirardelli 86% cacao and the 72% cacao are safe choices. Ones that are high in cadmium include like Alter Ego, the Pasha brand, that vegan one, Beyond Good, Lindt chocolate, and then high in lead includes Lily's, Who, Trader Joe's, Hershey, Tony's. So something to maybe keep in mind. Again, like I'm not really gonna think twice about the chocolate because I'm only eating a little bit here and there that I don't think it's going to impact me, and it's probably like I'm gonna die from my phone regardless.
Yeah, I think it's weird that health specifically and like health and wellness, like what's the thing to be scared of this week? We fixate on really weird things, and we don't focus on the fact that all of us have phones glued to us 95% of the time. You walk outside and you're getting pollution. That's why, like, any sort of like super isolation, individualistic solution to like the discontent you feel with our modern world, like, you can't cure that. You can't like optimize yourself with all your little like tools and gadgets. It would come from like community care. It would come from legislation for all of us to have a better outcome. And it's hard because I feel like people don't think that they have like power to act in their community. We're a lot less like in, you know, in coordinates with our communities than we were years ago. And so I think it's kind of scary whenever there's these little things that come up, because I'm like, yeah, I don't care enough about my chocolate to like do this. Like, it would be so much extra work for me to do. And I'm probably going to die one day. If anyone wants to read a good book about like mortality and like wellness, there's a book called Natural Causes. I think I've mentioned it on the pod before. It's by Barbara Enrich. She's one of my favorite authors that touches a lot on health and disparities and social safety nets in the country. That book talks a lot about how like you got to be comfortable with the fact we're all going to die one day. Like, you can definitely try to live a healthier life and like prevent sort of like illness and stuff like that. But you're not going to be able to live until you're like 300. And oh my gosh, I forgot that article of the guy that like has changed his biological clock or something like that. And it would cost him like $2 million a year to like do it. Did you see that at all?
No, I didn't.
Oh God, I don't even know. Someone, I think, DM'd us on Seamouse Girlies about it too. It was like,
I feel like I did see the DM, but I didn't really
process it. Yeah. It's like some young dude that has started some company to basically hack so he never dies. And I'm like, that is crazy. We're all gonna die. Like
you really want to
Live that long?
Forever?
Yeah, like that's crazy. That's like old. Trust me, I want to live a long, healthy life, but I'm not trying to live 250 fucking years.
I'm good.
Crazy. Well, I think that's the pod. I think that's the trend stuff. But thank you, girlies, for sending your trends. It was very fun to see what rabbit holes you're on TikTok and which ones we're on.
And also, thank you for everyone who had really positive feedback about our first episode back into the new year. A lot of you guys enjoyed the format. A lot of you all said that it was nice to hear Kate and I excited and positive. And I'm sorry if we were like down bad for a few episodes before we took a break, but we're back, we're rejuvenated, we're happy, we're healthy. So here's to many more positive episodes.
Here's to 2023. Yeah, I feel like the memes are getting better too. Like, we both had like, I mean, we were consistently pumping them out, but I just feel like you and I have new topics and we have some new, I feel like, super fans on the memes, which is always awesome to see.
Yeah.
So thank you, girlies. We wouldn't be here without you, and we will talk to you next week. Yeah.
Yep. Bye.
Bye, CMOS girlies. Make sure you know you do all the like, comment, subscribe things too. But talk to you Tuesday. Bye.